Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Friday, May 18th. The week has gone by very fast, folks, and as we always do here in Washington on Capitol Hill, we do manage to somehow get out another edition of American Free Press. And if you're not a subscriber to American Free Press, folks, you should be. I always tell you that. You can check out the website on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. And you might, while checking out that website, check out the blogs that are up there. Chris Petherick, the editor, has been pestering me to add a few items to my little blog up there, and I finally got around to adding a few things today. What you'll see up there that I've added is probably something you've already heard on this broadcast, just a few thoughts that passed through my mind this morning, some things that I had already said, but there you can see it in writing. These blogs, folks, I'm not sure, and I'm not talking just about the American Free Press blog, but I'm talking about all these blogs that are out there. I'm not sure how helpful they are. I'm not sure how helpful the internet is sometimes, folks, because there's so many people out there posting things on the internet that these people really shouldn't be posting on the internet because, you know, I hate to make a judgment like this, but a lot of the people that are out there using the internet are actually abusing the internet, and unintentionally so, because they often put up things that just are not true, and they know they're not true, but they think they're contributing to somehow bringing out the truth. I'm talking about a lot of these little forgeries that pop up now and then that get into widespread circulation. I keep saying that one evening I'm going to do a broadcast on that on this show and talk about some of them. There's so many little myths floating around about the JFK assassination that they make it ideal for conspiracy debunkers who often have their own agenda. It makes it ideal for them to be able to get up on the internet, and or not just in the internet, in books and other places, and say, look at the crazy things that people were saying, and some of these things are just so obviously not true. I'm being very general here, folks, because these things I'm talking about cover a wide range of areas. Well, when we come back after our first break, which is coming up here in a minute or so, I'm going to be giving you some information about a meeting in Sandpoint, Idaho this weekend. It's going to be addressed by Joe Cortina, who was a guest on this program. Now, frankly, I'm a little bit confused. I'm not sure what night it is. I'm not sure if it's Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But it is going to be in Sandpoint, Idaho. And if Mark Glenn is listening in, I would like to ask Mark to call in and give us the exact day when this meeting is held. Mark, I hope you're listening. If anybody is listening and Mark Glenn isn't, give Mark Glenn a call and tell him to call this number, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Of course, that is our number here, folks, and if you want to call in, you're more than welcome to do so. Have a few little items to comment on, and then we are going to go to the phones. Don't even really have that much to comment on, folks, so that'll give you more time to talk and let me listen, although I am prone to interrupting, so be prepared for it. It may happen. All right, folks, Michael Collins Piper here coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press. Stay tuned for more, folks. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The reason why you're listening is because you can handle the truth. Can handle the truth. I want to make it clear what I said there. You can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. send your $19 subscription to The Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's The Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
All right, welcome back, folks. Michael Collins, Piper here, hoping to hear from Mark Glenn within the next hour. But in the meantime, I can tell you that this weekend in Sandpoint, Idaho, America's Promise Ministries is hosting a speaking engagement by Joe Cortina. That's a grand fellow, and that's an understatement. That's a grand fellow who was on this show, who talked about his experiences as an official U.S. representative in Israel as a member, former member, I guess, at that point of the U.S. military, but still working with the military and with the government. In any case, he is going to be speaking there in Sandpoint, Idaho. If you do want further information, you can go to the website of America's Promise Ministries at amprom.org. That's amprom.org. Or you can send an email to Mark Glenn at AmericanFreePress@yahoo.com. That's one of Mark's internet email handles, American Free Press, just like it sounds, AmericanFreePress@yahoo.com. And as most of you regular listeners know, Mark is a regular writer now for American Free Press, and we're glad to have him aboard. His website also is crescentandcross.com, crescentandcross.com. Speaking of crosses, the Red Cross has condemned Israel. Now, that was even reported in the New York Times, folks. I mean, when even the New York Times is forced to publish news like that, that really says something about how bad Israel's treatment of the Christian and Muslims really is. The fact that it even made the New York Times. The Red Cross has condemned Israel's treatment of the Christians and Muslims. Interesting, folks. I mean, what are they going to start saying? The Red Cross is a Nazi outfit or the Red Cross is anti-Semitic? They'll probably demand that the Red Cross change its name to the Red Hoodoo or something like that. I mean, you know, they don't even, well, aside from all that. All right. There's a Navy Lieutenant Jason Nichols. I'm changing the course here, folks, in case you didn't figure that out. Lieutenant Jason Nichols of the U.S. Navy. He's an information specialist stationed in Baghdad. He also has a website called appealforcourage.org. I'm not sure he's appealing for courage, but that's his website. It's apparently his personal website, appealforcourage.org. And on his website, he's giving the Democrats hell for suggesting that the United States should get the hell out of Iraq. And this is what Lieutenant Nichols writes. This is Lieutenant Nichols writing, folks. The American public is not tired of the war. They are tired of believing that they are losing. They are tired of the daily drumbeat of pessimism and defeat promoted daily by our media and by some in our Congress. Now listen to this, folks. Where does this... I don't know how old Lieutenant Jason Nichols is, but I was going to call him a kid. Listen to what he writes. He says, they don't understand that building a democracy is a slow process that takes years, that victory in Iraq will be more like the fall of communism than like VE Day in 1945. Like it or not, it is incumbent upon us in the military to correct this misrepresentation of our efforts. We have a duty to convince the American public why we must stay and finish the mission. There is no doubt that we can create a stable democracy in Iraq if we have courage enough to do so. Boy, he's tough, isn't he? Well, Lieutenant Jason Nichols is an information specialist stationed in Baghdad. Now, you know, I hate to criticize anyone who's in the military, folks, but, you know, when he's setting up his own website, along with being an information specialist, that means to me probably a propagandist. Sounds like a fancy name for a reporter. I could be wrong about that. If anyone knows what an information specialist is, give me a call and let me know. But it seems to me that Jason Nichols must have a lot of time on his hands sitting over there in Baghdad if he can put up an appealforcourage.org website and send out these messages bashing good patriotic Americans who are opposed to this war and who want to help bring our men and women in uniform home to their families where they belong. I guess we don't need them to protect the borders anymore, folks, since we've opened the borders up and the Senate's effectively voted for amnesty for all the illegal aliens in this country. Some say 12 million, others say maybe as high as 20 million. But Lieutenant Jason Nichols is sitting there comfortably as an information specialist, putting out all this high-toned rhetoric, when there's other people, men and women in uniform, who are out there getting their asses shot off. I think Jason Nichols, if he wants to fight this war so badly, he better get out there. He better get out there and pick up a gun and walk through those streets of Baghdad where all these bombs are blowing up on a regular basis and killing innocent men, women, and children and innocent men and women in the U.S. military as well. People who shouldn't be in that war. And speaking of those bombs going off in Baghdad, Mark Glenn has a very interesting article in this week's American Free Press that just went to press yesterday. And in there he demonstrates beyond any question that there is emerging evidence suggesting that at least some of these quote-unquote terrorist activities are actually the work of the U.S. and the Mossad, the U.S. agents of the United States and agents of the Mossad. Very interesting story, folks, a very disturbing story. But needless to say, Navy Lieutenant Jason Nichols, if he wants to, he should put his money where his mouth is and get out there and fight the war instead of maintaining a website. He must have a lot of time on his hands. I doubt most of those guys and gals out there that are getting shot at and facing bombs and all the other misery of war, being separated from their families, losing their jobs. What can I say, folks? It's very irritating to me. I think it's probably irritating to you. Well, in keeping up with our monthly project here of honoring the demand by President George W. Bush, or I should call him what he is, War Criminal Bush, the demand by War Criminal Bush that we honor American Jewish Heritage Month, I thought it'd be inappropriate to give you a very interesting quotation taken from the book Jews in America Today by Lenny Brenner, who, by the way, is Jewish, has a very interesting quotation here. This is directly from Lenny Brenner, citing another book. Let me read it to you directly, folks. He says, "The most important study of the younger Jewish community activist leadership is Brandeis Professor Jonathan Wucher's The Civil Judaism of Communal Leaders in the 1981 American Jewish Yearbook." Wucher looked at 309 middle and upper middle class participants in leadership development programs of the United Jewish Appeal and the community federations. According to the professor, nearly 65% deny that Jewish values are basically the same as those of all religions, and more than three-quarters acknowledge a quote-unquote special Jewish responsibility to work for justice in the world. Now, that will come as a surprise to many of our Christian friends who like to throw around that term Judeo-Christian and who like to say that Christian stems from Judaism's roots. But in fact, some of these Jewish communal leaders, not just some of them, nearly 65% deny that Jewish values are basically the same as those of all religions. Okay, that was my commentary, folks, but that's what the survey said. The survey continues. Nearly 60% view the Jewish contribution to modern civilization as greater than that of any other people. That is, more than half of them say that Jews contribute more to civilization than any others. 70% claim that they feel more emotion listening to Hatikva, that's Israel's national anthem, than they do the Star Spangled Banner. I'm going to repeat that, folks. 70% of those upper class and middle class people involved in the Jewish community organizations in that survey, 70% of them feel more emotion listening to Israel's national anthem than the Star Spangled Banner. A majority rejected the proposition that an American Jew owes his or her primary loyalty to the United States. A majority reject the proposition that American Jews owe their primary loyalty to the United States. 63% explicitly affirm that Jews are the chosen people. Only 18% actually disagree. Okay, folks, those are not my words. Those are not my opinions. Those are the opinions of a select group of upper and upper middle class, or middle class and upper middle class Jewish leaders in America. They feel more emotion listening to the Star Spangled Banner. Their first loyalty, a majority of them said, is not to the United States, but to Israel. Again, folks, those are not Mike Piper's opinions. They were published in a survey that was referenced in Jewish American writer Lenny Brenner's book, Jews in America Today. Well, I've done my duty, Mr. President, Mr. War Criminal. I brought some more news reflecting on American Jewish heritage in this Our American Jewish Heritage Month. Don't criticize me, Mr. President. Don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger, Mr. President. I know you like to shoot people. You've killed thousands of your fellow Americans, but don't kill me for just bringing those facts. All right, when we come back, we will go to the phones. We've got quite a few callers.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. We're going to the phones in a moment, but I just had a thought over the break, you know. I just read you those direct quotations from a survey taken within the Jewish community by a Jewish organization, published in the American Jewish Yearbook, and then noted upon in a book by a Jewish American author. None of it was my opinion. None of it, you know, my commentary was very clear, but the direct quotations were there for you to hear yourself. You can look it up on your own. And it's also, I took it from my book, The New Jerusalem, where I reproduced that quotation. But my point is this, folks. My critics, such as those at the Anti-Defamation League, would probably describe what I just did by saying that Piper read anti-Semitic remarks, or Piper made anti-Semitic remarks. No, Piper did not make anti-Semitic remarks. What Piper did, Piper quoted remarks by Jewish people, responding to a survey by Jewish people that was published in a book by Jewish people describing Jewish people in America. Just keep that in mind. All right, we have got Jim in Texas, our resident Talmudic scholar. Jim,
well,
come on up.
Not quite a Talmudic scholar, but for your information, I talked to Mark Glenn last night as he was on his way to Spokane to pick up Joe Cortina.
Oh, good, and okay.
So he's probably listening to you tonight, because from what he tells me, he very seldom ever misses you.
I talked to Mark, as a matter of fact, this afternoon, and he reminded me about this, but, you know, it slipped my mind. We got talking about so many other things. It slipped my mind as to exactly what date this speaking engagement is. So if Mark is out there listening, I hope he does call in and gives it to us straight.
I felt it my duty to tell Mark last night that he should remember Ruby Ridge, because he's in the same vicinity up there, and what they did to the waivers there could very well happen to Mark, because he's out of the grid, so to speak, up there in the middle of nowhere in northern Idaho. So just, you know, for everybody's general information. But you were talking about military spokesmen. It's commonly called a paid professional liar is what a military spokesman is. It's kind of like Abraham Foxman is a bipartisan, unbiased, non-prejudiced spokesman for the common American people. You know, there's no such thing as an unbiased military spokesman. They're paid professional liars.
Well, you know, I've always called myself a hack writer, but I think from now on I'm going to call myself an information specialist.
Hey, no, you can't, Mike, because you're not a liar.
Okay.
You don't qualify. I don't care what other qualifications you think you might have. You're not a liar.
Well, that's true, and hack writers are capable of telling the truth as equally as they are capable of telling lies.
The only people that are capable of telling the truth is a hack writer. You think Krauthammer or Broder from the Washington Post or any of those people are capable of telling the truth? They're completely incapable of telling the truth.
Well, I don't know. I think I've maybe seen one or two true things come out of David Broder, but Charles Krauthammer, that's another question altogether. I say some terrible things about Charles Krauthammer that are politically incorrect, but, you know, I'm going to say it on the air. It's going to upset some people. You know, Charles Krauthammer is in a wheelchair.
Wait a minute, Mike, you're not going to call him a handsome dude, are you?
No, what I'm going to say is, you know, Charles Krauthammer is in a wheelchair. I really would love the opportunity to be standing with him up on the Capitol steps just once. Just once.
I'd like to be in an Israeli helicopter gunship with rockets on Mr. Krauthammer in his wheelchair like they did to that blind cleric with quadriplegic coming
Absolutely.
Out of a mosque.
Absolutely. Good for you, Jim. Absolutely.
That's what I'd like to be.
That's
I'd
right.
like to do to Mr. Krauthammer.
That's
and
right.
also Mr. Broder, because I hate Broder worse than Krauthammer. Krauthammer, I understand what he does. Broder, I don't. Broder is like a Benedict Arnold. He's a stab in the back. He pretends to be somebody who he isn't. Krauthammer is what he is, and that's what you see.
You know,
that's
it. You know, Jim, that's very, very interesting. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah, Krauthammer makes no bones about what he's doing, whereas David Broder pretends to be this kind of objective, reflective, omniscient, observant commentator, when in fact he's more of a shill. You're absolutely right about that. He's more of a shill than even Krauthammer. Good for
I
you.
I picture
You're
Broder
right.
as in a county carnival running a three-card Mountie booth. That's what he's doing. I mean, that's what all these people do, and nobody calls them on it. That's what they do. That's what they are. There's no getting away from it, Mike.
Yeah,
they are,
you know,
what they are.
Yeah, and it's so sad because you know, they have such power. They're the guys who are dragged on to television every night to make a few comments. You know, these are the guys who really influence the thinking of so many people. But of course, you know, they're the good guys. They're those benevolent figures on television who tell people what they need to know. And who they don't need to know about, people like Ron Paul.
Yeah, look tonight at on the immigration issue with John Kyle. Ooh, a wonderful, I mean, he's a wonderful fellow from Arizona, and he's been against this, but look at what he's doing tonight on TV. Oh, this is the greatest thing. It's not perfect, but it should be done.
This is a
lying sack of you-know-what.
It's a stage show. Jim, thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. Always appreciate them. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on here. Lots of callers lined up. Stay tuned. Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. by doing nothing more than you're doing right now because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Everybody, this is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there was some good news out of this criminal capital here in Washington today. They kicked Paul Wolfowitz out of the World Bank, or, well, he resigned. But you know what I would have liked to have seen done? I would have liked to have seen some of our good military people land a helicopter there on the roof of the World Bank and escort him into that helicopter and fly him over the mall here in Washington and toss him out. That would be a very relatively painless way to put that miserable piece of garbage, or I should say, put that miserable piece of garbage out of his misery, get him out of our misery, and causing the misery that he has caused by orchestrating this war in Iraq. I can just see Wolfowitz squealing like a stuck pig as they threw him out of the helicopter. All right. We have Brian in Pennsylvania. Brian.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
All righty. I think I owe you a package, don't I?
Yeah, anytime.
All right.
Listen, I want to do my part in this Jewish Heritage Month celebration.
All right, go ahead, Brian.
I need some understanding of their history. Number one, can you or one of your listeners tell me what... We're in the Jewish year 5767. So the question is this. What event starts the Jewish years? We know what the Christian event is, but what is the Jewish event that started marching time forward 57 and 67 years? That's my first question.
I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe Mark would know that, or one of your scholars for this tribe. The second thing...
That's an interesting question, and I'll bet there's an interesting answer to it, by the way.
The second thing is this. Through means that must remain undisclosable, I receive both a conservative and the Reform publication from a city in southeastern PA. Anyhow, in all of this correspondence which I get, whenever they mention the word God, they print the word God. They spell it G and then an underscore and then D. They don't spell G-O-D. They underscore the letter O. What is the significance of that method of defining God?
That's interesting. I actually saw some reference to that years ago. I'm not quite exactly sure what it is, but, you know, I have seen some pretty reasonable scholarship and research which would indicate, and we've touched on that on this program, I think, in a conversation between Mark Glenn and I. We've touched on this idea that what the Jewish perception of God is not precisely the Christian perception of God. And that alone is something that's very telling and very controversial and goes back to this question of what is Judeo-Christianity, which, of course, is there could be no such thing. But I think the answer to both of your questions would probably help us understand the situation a little better.
Uh-huh. Well, one more, if I have time, for a short story.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I live in a predominantly Germanly settled area. In fact, I live in a place called Heidelberg Township, and my family, seven generations ago, came to this country from an area 20 kilometers southeast of Heidelberg. So maybe this taints my view, but here's what I discovered. I was at a woman's house, an old woman's house, an old German woman's house, a good old German woman, a hard-working woman, and she had a little modest library, and the family was fairly prominent. And in one of the books was a history of this little town, if you want to call it that, I live in. Beautiful farmland, trees, wonderful place. At any rate, it described the founding of this town and described how the German settlers came over and settled the area, cleared the land, created modest industry, created civilization. And then it went on to say how the Jews came in, and I'll never forget this quote. The Jews came in, and because of the nature of their race, and this was no Holocaust denier, for heaven's sakes. This was some local historian writing a local book on a small town. The nature of their race was to move in with their carts and their pots and pans and buttons and try to shady a bunch of people, and when that ran out, they left town. They didn't contribute to the industry. They didn't contribute to the development. All they did was try to shady people and then left. And that, to me, says a mouthful.
That's very interesting. And that was in a local history.
A local history of a small town buried in the hills of southeastern PA.
Well, you know, if they could get their hands on that book, I guarantee you it would be burned.
Of course, but it just sums it up so accurately to me. It's the nature of the race.
Well, that should be commemorated. That's an excellent commemoration of American Jewish history. A little slice of life in Heidelberg, PA.
Yeah. All right, Mike. You can move on now.
All right, Brian. Thanks
for
your call.
If you find out any of the answers to those two questions,
I'm
going to
look it up myself.
All right, thanks.
All right, let's go to Carlos in California. Carlos, what's going on in California? What's going on in the world?
Hey, Michael, well, you know, the king of darkness, Paul Wolfowitz, got a slap in the wrist, right?
He should have gotten, somebody should have broken his wrist, but...
Well, you know, he got fired, and of course he's going to, he's going to get compensated and probably become head of the North American Union.
You know, he's going to have, dare I say, in the context of what I was talking about earlier, he's going to have a golden parachute when they throw him out of the helicopter.
Exactamundo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll go on to higher and bigger things. Now, you know, they highlight the fact that he had this affair, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does that compare to the real sinister crimes of the World Bank, which he headed.
Well, you know, that's true enough, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which bankrupted all kinds of countries across the world. They're supposed to be helping these countries, but their lending, predatory lending practices actually bankrupt these countries, which paves the way for the privatization by the New World Order's corporations of water, agriculture, all kinds of different state-owned industries. In Latin America, for instance, the privatization of water has made these companies like Suez, Vivendi, Thames Water raise impose exorbitant rates on water. Some of these people cannot afford this water. They end up drinking polluted water and end up dying. Now, how does that compare to the,
You're absolutely right, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, they are essentially adjuncts of the international banking houses of the Rothschild Empire. They're facilitators for the intrigues of the international banks and the companies that are in league with them, and that's essentially what Wolfowitz and every other president of the World Bank has done. That's their job. So it was really appropriate someone like Wolfowitz would be in there. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because one little thing about Wolfowitz that has largely been forgotten is that he played a major part in the overthrow of Ferdinand Marcos in the Philippines. And, you know, the legend is that Marcos, you know, looted the country. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. That's something I can talk about in detail on a whole show one time. But suffice it to say, the primary reason, well, I should say there were several reasons, but one of the primary reasons why Ferdinand Marcos was overthrown by Wolfowitz and company was because of the fact that he was standing up to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and he was telling them, I am going to run the Philippines the way I want to run the Philippines, and you're not going to tell me how to do it. And the reason why Marcos was able to do that was because he controlled a gigantic amount of gold, pure gold, that he, in fact, had gathered up that had been left behind in the Philippines by the Japanese during World War II. Massive amounts of gold, enough to impact the world gold market. So you see, this is why they really brought down Ferdinand Marcos. The whole business about Imelda's shoes and all the other stories had nothing to do with the reality of the situation. So like I say, I'll talk about that sometime on the show in detail, but you're absolutely right, Carlos.
The crimes of Wolfowitz
go beyond his little dealings with his girlfriend.
Right. I mean, people should realize what the World Bank and the IMF are really doing to these countries, man. They're, once they force them to get the loans and once they force bankruptcy on these countries, because let's face it, most of the leaders of these countries come from Harvard University.
That's right.
They're stooges for the bankers, or they come from Yale. You look at the incumbent right now in Mexico, Calderon, who's already privatizing Mexico's oil. He comes from Harvard University.
Exactly.
All of Mexico's presidents, right, President Saca and El Salvador came from there. The finance minister that bankrupted Argentina 5 years ago came from Harvard. All these people belong to the Latin Club, which was headed by David Rockefeller. Now, what does that tell you?
Well, you know what's interesting, Carlos? It's funny because the World Bank portrays itself as a friend of the third world and a friend of developing countries and a friend to the poor, and they are precisely the opposite.
Exactly. Their intent is to bankrupt this country so that they're forced to sell their assets to all these international companies that will take over the resources, and especially water. Now, water is going to become the war, our crisis on oil right now is going to be nothing compared to the coming crisis with water, because the international companies are going to hoard up the water, and then they're going to cause a worldwide crisis. And boy, are we going to be in trouble?
You know, there's another word for what they're doing. It's called imperialism. But there's a three-word phrase that also describes it very well, and that is the New World Order. Carlos,
exactly.
Thanks for your call. Good call there, Carlos. All right, let's go to Larry in Florida. Larry, what's going on?
Hi, I'd like to string together a couple of random thoughts of things I heard this week.
Yeah, go ahead.
El Presidente Jorge said that the Mexicans are here to take the jobs that Americans don't want.
Okay.
And with this new immigration bill, they're saying that they're going to give preference to the higher educated ones and the ones with a good command of the English language.
Mm-hmm.
Now I ask you, will those people take the jobs Americans don't want? And
good point.
There's you know, it gets more unbelievable by the second. Well, anyway, another thing is every first child of any president, from, you know, Lucy Bird and Linda Bird Johnson and Trisha and Julie Nixon and Amy Carter, and I can't even remember what Clinton's kid's name was.
Chelsea,
thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, we always heard a little bit about them. You know, not, you know, sometimes a lot, sometimes not so much, but we always heard something about them on the news. The Bush girls have vanished off the face of the earth. Are they still alive?
I think the one Bush girl is, oh God, what's she doing? She's writing a book on a third world child that has AIDS or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I watch as much mainstream media as anybody else and listen to it on the radio. I haven't heard a word about those girls in years. I guess you've been luckier than I was.
I actually saw one of the Bush girls on a plane one time.
You know, I wouldn't know them if I saw a photograph of them. I wouldn't know who it was.
Well, I didn't know until the stewardess told me, or I should say the flight attendant. I want to be politically correct here.
You mean you didn't throw her out of the plane?
For some reason, I had this strange desire not to be attacked by dozens of Secret Service agents.
I can't blame you. Well, anyway, and today on the PBS McNeil Lehrer thing that they have on the PBS TV station, just a couple hours ago, there was a guy, a professor, Gene Roberts at the University of Maryland Journalism School at Merritt College. Co-wrote a book about the old civil rights movement. And they harped and harped about the murder of Emmett Till, this young black fella, back in 1955. And, of course, we had to be beat over the head with that again. As you know, I guess it was on schedule to.
Yeah, I mean,
ahead.
I'm sorry it happened, but I didn't have anything to do with it. Neither did you, so far as I know.
No. But you know, and just a week or two ago, we're hearing about a retired state trooper from Alabama being arrested for shooting a black demonstrator in Alabama back in like 1965. It's amazing how they can dredge this stuff up and just keep beating us over the head with it. But yet nobody's ever heard of the Wichita Massacre at all. Oh, by the way, I emailed Professor Gene Roberts at the University of Maryland Journalism School at the Merritt College with a link to newnation.com, which will bring him up to date on the Wichita Massacre. I did that a couple hours ago. But it's amazing, this white guilt thing. They just beat us and beat us and beat us with it.
Yeah, that Wichita Massacre, wasn't that an uprising by a group of blacks who killed... I remember the story, but I don't remember I've heard of it, yeah.
It was the Carr brothers, a couple of criminals who rounded up and held captive for hours a whole house full of white, lily-livered types that wouldn't fight back. And then they took them out in a frozen, snow-covered soccer field and executed them one by one.
Well, I wouldn't call them lily-livered. They probably didn't have much of a chance to fight back when it comes down to it.
The blacks had one gun between them, a 380 caliber automatic, which I wouldn't want to be hit by one. But if, you know, I had a whole bunch of young college-age men in a room with me, I'd probably say, hey, boys, let's charge them and see what happens. But that's just me. Well, anyway, the Carr brothers didn't just murder that house full of people. The day after, they attacked two other white people, and they killed one of them who was a violinist or a cellist or something with the Wichita Symphony Orchestra. They shot her dead in her driveway.
That sounds like a hate crime to me.
Oh, you can't say that. But, no, that's, you know, that's, that news story was completely suppressed by gentlemen's agreement by the entire national, nationwide news media, and court TV after the Carr brothers were arrested and they were fixing to come to trial. Court TV was about to air the live coverage of that trial like they do so many others. And I was all excited because I wanted to see this. And at the last minute, Court TV changed their mind and did not air the Carr brothers trial. Gee, I wonder why.
I wonder why.
I wonder why, too. But anyway, oh, by the way, you know how one last little bitty thing, then I'll go. You know how you're always wishing that the military would stage a coup and straighten things up? Have you ever read the Turner Diaries by William Pierce?
Years ago I did, yeah.
That's basically what happened there. But now, unfortunately, that won't happen with our military because they've recruited so many blacks and Latinos into the military that I seriously doubt that the military could actually all get on the same page and do what's right.
That's right. There'd probably, unfortunately, there'd probably be infighting within the military itself.
I think so, yes. Okay, Mikey.
All right, Larry. Thanks
goodbye.
For
Have a good
call.
Weekend. Bye-bye.
I thought we had a break coming up here, folks, but I guess we don't. I guess we're just going to roll right into the last couple minutes. So I'm going to bring Bob from Texas up. Bob, come on up. We have a couple minutes here to go. I thought we were going to bring Bob. Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just barely, Bob. Speak up.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yes, I have two or three things. I'd like to make my contribution to Jewish, what is it, American Jewish History Month.
All right.
My motive is to promote a little bit of understanding. I don't know the name of it, but under Jewish law, if two Jewish people are speaking, by default, the content of their conversation is private. In other words, neither party can divulge the contents of any conversation they've held without the consent of the other party. That is Jewish law. Are you familiar with that?
No, I wasn't familiar with that. It's very interesting. Christians should adopt that.
Well, it explains a lot of things as far as freedom of speech is kind of quite the opposite of that, but it also keeps the mystery of Jewish things alive, okay? A second thing I wanted to say was when I think it was Jim brought up about that a spiritual leader of Hamas who was in a wheelchair who the Israelis shot with a missile.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, I had too, actually, yeah.
But I remember, you know, I don't know anything about Hamas, but whatever I knew about that man, he was a spiritual leader. I don't know what Israel thought of him, but
well, they obviously didn't think too much of him, or they wouldn't have killed him.
Well, the point I'm trying to make here is they actually thought quite a lot of him. They knew he was a powerful leader because, as you and I both know, Israel learned a long time ago that decapitation is the best way to solve their problems, okay? They thought a lot of that man. That's why he was assassinated.
Well, okay? I'm glad you used the term decapitation because that was the mode of execution during the French Revolution. And if we want to have French Jewish History Month, we can talk about the Jewish role in the French Revolution,
well,
where that reign of terror was set in place that really is very, very similar to what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians today.
Well, they decapitated our government in 1962, but I won't go into that again. But the point is, they learned a long time ago the importance of assassinating the right person.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right, and Kennedy was one. that Hamas leader was another, okay? And any other charismatic leader, okay, will also potentially have the same problem.
Oh, unfortunately, you're right. That's, I've always said that I think that's precisely why they chose to do John F. Kennedy in an open limousine before the public, just as they did to show people that they could kill an American president openly and viciously and get away with it and just tell the world, this is what we'll do to you, to any of you who stand in our way.
Well, I'm not so sure they thought about it like that. But, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I was thinking about this the other day. When you go to court to prove a murder case, there's certain elements you have to prove. You have to prove motive. You have to prove opportunity. Well, you can apply all of those to Israel and the Kennedy assassination, okay?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, the final thing is when somebody mentioned, when y'all were talking about the international bankers.
Right.
Now, I can't remember where I read this, or maybe I heard it, but it's interesting. And that is how the international banking got started. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard stories, but I don't really remember the specifics.
Well, I think it's like, well, today on TV, they told us about like someone who found about $500 million worth of gold in a shipwreck, okay? A treasure hunter. Well, there was a time when all the very rich people would, whenever they went somewhere, they'd have to carry all their gold with them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But the international bankers came along. You didn't have to carry your gold anymore. You would just deposit your gold in London.
Absolutely. That's the trick.
Get a piece of paper, go to China, hand over the piece of paper in China, and they'll give you your gold back.
That's a pretty good racket, and in the meantime, they hold all the gold.
I think that's how it started.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. That was a Rothschild family innovation.
And my final question is, I don't intend for this to sound like a criticism, but it's something I've been wanting to say. Can I say it?
Well, you can say it, but I'll tell you what, we are going to run out of time here in about 4 or 5 seconds, so I'll tell you what, why don't you call back on Monday?
No, forget it.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, we're running out of time here. I'm expecting the music to start momentarily. It here it goes. I thought we were coming up to the end. All right. You hold that thought, Bob. Apologies to those we couldn't get up, Edward in Ohio and Val in Virginia, but we'll be here Monday night, God willing. All right, thanks to the Republic Broadcasting Network, John and Sandra, all the good folks there. Have a good weekend, folks. Drive safely. Walk safely. And say a prayer for those good military people that are putting their lives on the line in a war, unfortunately, that we shouldn't be involved in. Let's bring them home. Let's bring them home. No reason to protect the borders anymore, I guess, but we can still bring them home.
It's true. Gold and silver.